And when she was about to deliver, they made dua to Allah and they said, if you give us that which is good, we're going to be grateful. And when Allah gave them that which is good, they ascribed partners to Him. Glory be to Allah from their partnership. We know from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He bestowed upon us the bounty, we should not make those bounty the condition for our obedience. Many people say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me this, I'm going to be obedient. If Allah gives me this, I'm going to be grateful. And most of the cases when people make conditions to obey Allah, when those conditions are met, they do not obey Allah. Therefore, in this ayah, it was said, if you give us a good child, we're going to be grateful. And when that was given to them, when the condition was met, they did not show their gratitude, but actually they fall into practicing shirk. This ayat are attributed to Adam and Hawa. They say Adam and Hawa are meant by those ayat. And actually here in this chapter it gives a hadith that according to Ibn Abbas, which tells us about this, what happened, but this hadith is weak. And for this story to be attributed to Adam and Hawa is not fit, because that means Adam committed shirk. And we know that Adam did not commit shirk, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Adam that he ate from the forbidden tree and he repented to Allah azza wa jal. If Adam did a sin more than eating from a forbidden tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let us know about it, and Allah will let us know about his repentance. Because if he died without any repentance, that implies he died with shirk. And the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not die with shirk, nor they practice shirk, because they are commissioned to call humanity to tawheed. So we want to let you aware that this ayat are not attributed to Adam and Eve in any way. And the accounts that say they are attributed to Adam and Eve, they are weak accounts and they're not authentic. So what is remain for us to know that this ayat is applicable to mankind in general. That when people, especially in this situation, they ask Allah to give them that which is good and righteous, when their dua is answered, they make association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that could happen in many shapes and many forms. They say the child is righteous because the doctor was very careful in the delivery. Thus they are attributing it, they're making partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say the child is healthy because we are giving him all of his shots. That's making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or when the child starts to grow up, they start loving the child more than they love Allah azza wa jal, and that's shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want anybody to misunderstand when you say the child is healthy because he's taking shots. That does not mean we do not give the children their shots. But we do not attribute the goodness of that to the shot. But we say due to Allah's blessing and due to what Allah unveiled for us of the scientific discoveries that will enable us to protect our children by the mercy and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, how people can make shirk after they receive their the child that they want to have, attribute the health of the child to the doctor, or love the child more than they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or fail to raise their children according to how Allah azza wa jalla wants the children to be raised. All of that represents deficiencies in tawheed. We ask Allah to make us from those who have the highest level of tawheed in our hearts. The issue.
Looking back, anything which implies worship other than Allah is forbidden.
Because in the weak narration, the shaitan told the parents to name the child Abdul Hai. But this is weak narration, I will not going to deal with it. But we have this benefit from the previous chapter.
Explanation of the verse in Allah. This shows the concern only of the name of the actual implied meaning or not intended.
All of that is said because the ayah was attributed to Adam. So we do not need to make this ta'weel because the ayat is not attributed to Adam.
The gift of Allah to a man of a normal world is also a distinction.
Yeah.
The pious predecessors made a distinction between shirk and obedience of shirk to worship.
Now we're going to move on to the next chapter, the chapter وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. It was narrated that ذكر ابن أبي حاتم عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما يلحدون في أسمائه يشركون وعنه سموا اللات من الإله والعزة من العزيز. We have talked about this chapter in previous chapters in detail. We said some of the aspects of deviation in the names of Allah is to take names from the names of Allah and make the statue. And we have dealt in this chapter in what this chapter means in previous lessons, so we do not have to repeat, inshaAllah. Therefore, we're going to go on to the next chapter after we read the issues. We do not need to repeat that every time because it's the continual lesson.
Confirmation of the names of Allah. All the names of Allah are beautiful. We must call Allah by His name.
Yes, this is we need to shed some light on. Calling Allah by His name, نَدْعُ اللَّهِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ. That comes into two types. One of the names of Allah is Ar-Rahman. So to call Allah by His name, you have to do those actions which will make you subject to Allah's mercy. An example of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا والذين هاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله أولئك يرجون رحمة الله. Those who believe and they migrate and struggle for the sake of Allah are those are the ones who are hoping for the mercy of Allah. So we know from this ayah, to receive Allah's mercy we have to put forth certain practices. So for us to worship Allah by His name, if we want to get the asar or the consequences of Allah's mercy, we have to do that which is enable us to receive the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is one style. Another style is to call upon Allah by His name in making dua. An example of that, as we said, one of the names of Allah is Ar-Rahim. So you say, Ya Rahim, ارحمني. يا رحيم, be merciful with me. If you want Allah to give you sustenance, you say, يا رزاق ارزقني. The one who provides, the provider, provides for me. So you realize and you pay attention to the name, the meaning of the name, and what we are asking for. You say, يا عليم علمني. A knowledgeable educator, make me have knowledge. So those are the two styles of calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His name.
He commands the son to ignorance to do all God's will. Explanation of the kind of God's will. One commits by misusing the name of Allah. The punishment promised for the person who commits the Allah.
The next chapter is the chapter باب لا يقال السلام على الله. The chapter that you do not say السلام upon Allah, because it's one of the names of Allah is السلام. So if the name of Allah is السلام, then we cannot say السلام على Allah, because this word means when you say السلام عليكم, you are saying may the peace be upon you, or may the safety be upon you. Therefore, this statement is not fit to be said to Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah is the safety giver, and Allah is the peace giver. So we cannot say to Allah, peace be on you, because He is the peace and He is the provider of peace. But we can say that to ourselves. So when I say to you assalamu alaikum, it means I'm telling you, may the peace be upon you. I am making dua to you. Yeah? It's not practical to say that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says in the Sahih, according to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the prayer, and we said As-salamu ala Allahi min ibadihi, As-salamu ala fulan. Faqala النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la taqulu as-salamu ala Allah, fa inna Allah huwa as-salam. It says we were, according to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, we were with the Prophet in the prayer, and we said as-salam to Allah from his slave, and as-salam on so and so. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not say as-salam to Allah, because Allah is al-salam. This hadith teaches us the etiquette of making salam, the etiquette of being polite when we are trying to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So part of this etiquette, we do not say as-salamu ala Allah, because Allah azza wa jal is as-salam. Issue.
Explanation of as-salam. As-salam is a greeting for salutation. As-salam is not proper to use for Allah. The reason being, Allah Himself is as-salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the companions radiallahu anhum the implication in the way it should be offered for Allah.
The next chapter, باب قول اللهم اغفر لي in shit. In this chapter, in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la yaqul ahadukum allahumma aghfir li in shi'at, allahumma arhamni in shi'at, liya'zim al-mas'alah fa inna Allah la mukriha la. None of you should say, oh Allah, forgive me if you wish. O Allah, be merciful to me if you wish. But he should always appeal to Allah with determination. For nobody can force Allah to do something against his will. This hadith also shows us the etiquette of making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal for us to be glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that etiquette, when we are making dua to Allah, we do not say, "Oh Allah, forgive us if you wish." Because in saying so, there's three implications for that. All of those implications are not appropriate implications. The first implication is that somebody can force Allah to do what he wants to do. Therefore, a person saying, "If you want to." This implication, to bring it to more example, an example that you will relate to more, if I tell you, "Do this for me if you want." This "if you want" shows that if I did not tell you if you want, that means I am making a command to you to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our slave, we cannot command him. Therefore we should not say "if you want." The other false implication for that is for somebody to misunderstand that Allah answering of this dua represents a difficulty to Allah. Therefore we are saying "if you want" to deliver Allah from experiencing difficulty. Also if we call upon you and we tell you "do this and this and this if you want," that implies we are telling you if you want, so if you have any difficulties in doing that, you are free from not doing it. And this implication is not appropriate when we are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third implication of that is when a person is saying it without any sincere drive and desire to obtain what he is calling for. Therefore he's given Allah the option, "If you want to do it, if you want don't do it." And this is not the proper mode that a person should be when he is making dua. But rather the proper mode a person should be when he is making dua is to make dua with seriousness and with full determination and knowing to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he is asking for. Therefore, in this hadith it says, do not say "if you want." Let him ask with determination, because nothing could be done against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The forbidden for making any exclusions in supplication. The reason for not saying "if you wish."
The reason is because Allah, no one can force Allah to do what does he want, what he does not want to do.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "To make the appeal with firm determination. Ask whatever you can of Allah." The reason for that, for nothing is too much for or beyond.
Another issue connected to that chapter, this is different from asking Allah for something if we do not really know the goodness of what we are asking for. Therefore, it's permissible to say, "Oh Allah, make me live if living is better for me, and make me die if death is better for me." Because in this situation, when a person is making this type of dua, he does not really know which one is better for him. Therefore, he is resting it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, similar to that, when a person makes the istikhara and he says to Allah, "If this is better for me, give me this. If it's not good for me, let me have another thing that is good for me." Because in this case, a person does not know himself which option is the best for him. But this is in a specific But in general, when we ask Allah to give us forgiveness, when we ask Allah to bestow upon us His bounty, when we ask Allah to take us to paradise, we know that is good for us. Therefore, there is no reason for to say, if you wish, if you want, if this is good for you. You cannot say, oh Allah, take me to paradise if this is good for me. Because you know that it's good for you. But you can say, oh Allah, make me live if living is good for me. Because a person does not know whether living is good for him or not. The chapter, باب لا يقول عبدي وأمتي. You know, in Islam, slavery is permitted. But this slavery is governed with the Islamic rules, even to extend to govern the language by which the slave communicates to his master and the master communicates to his slave. And this issue is discussed in this hadith that is according to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يقل أحدكم أطعم ربك وارزق ربك وليقل سيدي ومولاي ولا يقل عبدي وأمتي وليقل فتايا وفتاتي وغلامي. One of you should not say feed your lord, help your lord in performing ablution. But he should say, my master feed your master instead of lord. Or my guardian, and one should not say my slave or my slave girl. But he should say my lad or my lad and my boy. All of those expressions showed us how a person should not say who is a slave to his master, my lord. But he should replace that with another word which is say, Sayyidi, my sir, or my master, or mawlai. And the person who owns the slave should not say abdi, because this word is kept all of us to be the abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the master should not address his slave by saying to him abdi or amati, but say my lad, my boy, or my lad, which is my female slave girl. And that teaches us the etiquette of dealing with our slaves. You might answer, ask, what is that has to do with Tawheed? We say this has to do with Tawheed. When we are using the proper language, then we should not let any arrogance come to our heart. If a person who has slaves started calling his slave my abd, and the abd starts calling his master my lord, that might represent in the long run putting in the heart of the slave some of the humiliation that should be only be felt to Allah Azza wa Jal, and in the heart of the master some feeling of arrogance that are not befitting to have against another human being. The issue is inshaAllah.
Forbidden to say my slave boy or my slave girl. The slave should not say my lord, nor should it be said to them feed the lord. Teaching the master should instead say my lad, and my boy. Teaching the slave should instead say my master or my guardian. The point here is to emphasize the peace and the fully, even in the one expression.
This is the point to express Tawheed in the best way. The second chapter, whoever acts with the name of Allah is not to be rejected. And this is due to the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we said before, if somebody swears to us by Allah, we have to believe him, and that is due to glorification to Allah. Also, if somebody asks by Allah, we have to give him.
Say, من سأل بالله فعطوه ومن استعاذ بالله فأعيذوه ومن دعاكم فأجيبوه ومن صنع إليكم معروفا فكافئوه فإن لم تجدوا ما تكافئونه فادعوا له حتى تروا أنكم قد كافأتموه.
It says, if anyone makes a request in Allah's name, give him. And if anyone seeks refuge by Allah's name, then give him refuge. And if anyone invites you, then answer his invitation. And if somebody does for you a favor, then compensate him. And if you do not find anything to compensate him with, then make dua for him until you feel that you have compensated him. Here, when somebody asks by the name of Allah, we have to give him. But it does not say we have to give him what he is asking for. We have to give him something, but not necessarily what he is asking for. If somebody can say by the name of Allah, I'm asking you for $100. And you know that you cannot help him to give him $100. So at least give him a dollar. So you do not let him go without getting anything. But here again, a person who asks by the name of Allah and he does not need what he is asking for, he is not glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who asks by the name of Allah without being in need of what he is asking for, this person is not glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal. And asking others without a need is not a practice that is endorsed in Al-Islam. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person will keep on asking the people until the Day of Judgment will come and there is not even flesh on his face. Because he's asking the people without a reason, just to have more of wealth. So again, this chapter is included in here to show us that we have to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second hadith, باب لا يسأل بوجه الله إلا الجنة. عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال لا يسأل بوجه الله إلا الجنة. Do not ask by Allah's face except paradise. Narrated by Abi Dawood. But this hadith is not weak. This hadith is weak. It was included in Da'if Abu Dawood, hadith number 368 of the book of Al-Albani, Hafizahullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're going to read the issues inshaAllah, and we'll stop at this point. The 55 and 56.
Mark protection for those who protect in the name of Allah. Give if one asks with the name of Allah. Acceptance of the invitation. Return kindness that has been done to you. If one has no need to refrain kindness and supplication for him in his supplication. Give from Allah by the subtle statement until you feel that you have supplicated. Forbidden of asking by our faith for other things than the utmost need.
This hadith, we said, it is da'if.
Affirmation of Allah's attributes of having the statement.
How do you believe in the faith of Allah according to what criteria?
Because the Quran, because silence, because changing the meaning of the world, and because
alter and change in the meaning of the word or the thing.
Without suspending.
So now we stop at this point, inshallah, and if you have any questions, we try to answer them. Yes,
back in the first chapter, we're talking about how the person who commits the kufr and he has to repent and then re-enter Islam. Is this re-entering Islam the same as him entering Islam as the first, which wipes away the previous sin?
Yes, because his deed that he did when he was Muslim and when he fell into kufr, and then when he came to Islam, about those deeds that he did before. If his repentance is sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a person has bad deeds, they will turn into good deeds. So if a person repents good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah might preserve his previous deeds, inshaAllah.
وهذا وصلى الله وسلم